Man, it is good to be with you today. Okay, the response would be, it's good to have you with us today. Amen. No. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, man, I want to talk about something today for the next few minutes that everybody in the house is going to participate in. Don't you just love when I talk about those things? You're going to participate one way or the other. Some because you want to, some you don't want to. But irregardless, even atheists, even agnostics, everybody's going to participate in this one word at some point. You ready? The word is called forgiveness. 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 That word forgiveness, just so you know, it means to disregard. If you look it up in the Bible, in the Hebrew dictionary, or the Greek, it comes back to one word: disregard. In other words, when somebody's hurt you, how many's ever been hurt in your emotions? Yeah, everybody in the room at some point or another by somebody. If you hadn't, you keep living. And it will happen to you. You've been hurt. And the Bible uses this word forgiveness and this definition of disregard. Do you know that we have to disregard that? Oh, I knew this was going to be a popular message, Glenn. It's you have to disregard that. That's what forgive is. Forgiveness. Now, I want to... how many of you ever... said the Lord's Prayer? You maybe at a sporting event, you know, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." You read that? And you get down to the end and you said, yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we stop. And there's two verses right below that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Two verses that we don't like. You ready for them? Here we are. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Right behind the Lord's Prayer. "For if you forgive men their trespasses," remember there's a little part in there about forgive our debtors as we forgive those that trespass against us. Says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive" who? Verse 15, we do not like. "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses." That's tough. If you want to be, if you want people to forgive you, you've got to forgive them. Let me put it this way. If you want people to disregard how you hurt them, you must disregard how they hurt you. Oh, this is stinging already. The altars are open at any time during the message. I want to read a passage of Scripture. It's kind of lengthy, but we've got time. You're not going anywhere for a minute anyway. In Matthew chapter 18, can I get somebody to cut that thing up? It's a little chilly on my bald head. I normally don't mess with the air, but it's a little chilly on this. Amen. And if you're overheating as a female, I apologize. We don't put it up too much. Just you. Amen. That overheating term, my wife's radiator overheats at home. She's at that time in life. When it overheats, I freeze. But glory to God. The first time Glenn ever said amen out loud in church. Hey! You know my pain, don't you, brother? And I normally don't get cold, but anyway, praise God. Matthew chapter 18, talking about forgiveness. You've probably read this passage of Scripture and probably talked to people about this passage of Scripture. But I will hopefully bring out some things in this passage that we need as a church body and you need individually to learn how to forgive, learn how to disregard. Now, we know that Peter, let's just read it. Matthew 18:21 says, "Then Peter came to him," meaning Jesus. If you have a red letter edition, we're fixing to get into that. And all this passage, by the way, is red letter except the first couple of verses. "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?'" It's a question, a really good question, right? We sit around and have conversations about how long, how many times I should forgive that person that hurt me. Do we not? Sure we do if you're honest. If you're not, then you need to be forgiven because you're lying. "How many times should I forgive him?" He says, "Up to 7 times. Now, Peter's trying to get some definition on how many times. You know, he's like me, just a few. He says, "Up to 7 times with a question mark. And the response from Jesus is this. Jesus said to him, now the rest of the passage is red letters, so if you're wondering if your pastor come up with it, I didn't. Jesus did. You can take it up with him if you don't like it. Praise God. Amen. And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And then verse 23 really gets a hold of us. He says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like..." Anytime you see that, you need to pay attention. When it says the kingdom of heaven is like, he's fixing to give you some really good information that you can live by. He's fixing to tell you something that you're probably not going to like, but if you want to go to heaven, if you want to be right with God, if you want to walk in the fullness of God, you need to pay attention, because he says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And remember that word. What does forgive mean? Disregard. Disregard. You need to get that word in your spirit, because that means a little bit more than forgiveness if you look at it from the way we're thinking about it. I got to disregard that? That's what the Bible says. That's the true meaning of forgive. Forgive is, I got to forgive you. What does that mean? To disregard. Like it never happened. You ever heard that commercial? I think it's ServPro. And they show you this commercial, and the house is flooded. It's been burned or whatever, and it's destroyed. And they come in, and boy, they do all the work, and they leave, and they give you the before picture that your house was, the middle picture where it was destroyed, and then the after picture, and it's restored to back the way it used to be. And their slogan is, does anybody know what it is? Like it never happened. Amen. Can you forgive like it never happened? Can you disregard someone who's hurt you like it never happened? Well, it's tough. I'm not telling you that I've got it conquered. I'm saying the Bible says we got to disregard those things that hurt us. And he says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, that's a lot of money. That's like, if you study this, that's like 100 years worth of wages. That's a lot of money back then. It's not much now, but anyway. That was an amen moment. You missed it. And he says, "But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made." That was what used to happen if you owed a debt and you couldn't do it. They'd just sell you. Sell you, your kids, your stuff, and boom, you're gone. It's like you're just somebody else's servant then. Then verse 27, "Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him," or excuse me, I missed verse 26. Did I not? Y'all didn't even, did y'all catch that I missed 26? I'm just seeing if you're paying attention. Verse 26 says this, "The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt." Boy, this is that seven times 70. You forgive people, you disregard it, and you got to move on. Verse 28, But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That's 100 days' wages, by the way, in that sense. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. He's serious about getting his money. Now, look, I've been on the side of people wanting money from me before, okay? I mean, like, serious money, you know, but I ain't never had anybody get me by the throat. Some of y'all ain't never been broke. They come close. And this servant went out to his fellow servant, verse 28, and said to this guy who owed him 100 denarii, laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Now, what just happened? The same thing that he asked his master to do, this servant asked him to do, but there's a difference. The first master forgave him all his debt. But he didn't want to do that. See, he wanted it his way. How many of you ever get in a squabble with someone or have a difference or you get hurt and you need to forgive, but you want the forgiveness, but you don't want to forgive? See, this forgiveness thing is a two-way street. You must forgive to get forgiveness. Now, I want to say a couple things about forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean that you have to continue supporting that same stupidity. Forgiveness means I forgive you for your hurt and your pain toward me. That's the tough part. I have to disregard that. That doesn't mean that I have to still stay on your bandwagon and do everything you want to do and let you do crazy stuff and let you hurt me again. That's not what that means. There is a difference. You can forgive somebody, disregard what they've done, and move on with life. And so you need to make sure that of those distinctions that you're clear in those areas of your life. But this servant, he wanted mercy given to him. But he wouldn't, the second master, he wouldn't give it to him. He wouldn't extend that same mercy. Remember, this passage is about the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like unto this, that one, the King, King Jesus, has extended mercy to you. But you in turn, as it's been given to you, you must give mercy. How many of you have ever been forgiven of something like sin in your life? How many of you have been born again? If you've been born again, you've been forgiven. Come on. So if you've been forgiven, then it is on your shoulders to forgive. To forgive people of their trespasses against you. I'm not saying you like it. You don't have to like the Bible. Come on. Not everything in the Bible I like. I didn't say it wasn't true. I didn't say it wasn't good for me. I just don't like it sometimes. Because sometimes I don't want to forgive. Come on. Sometimes you want to wallow where you are. But let me tell you something. We think that forgiveness is for that person and they're going to get off scot-free. No, 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 no. You have a misconstrued idea of what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is for you. It is not for the other person. Let God deal with them. See, when you don't want to forgive someone because they've hurt you, see, the problem is you have a couple of issues going on. Number one, you don't want to forgive. Number two, you got a controlling spirit. Because you want to determine what happens to them. No, see, your job is to forgive and let God deal with them on their part. It's not your job to pass down the sentencing. It's your job to forgive and to forgive and to forgive. Period. No matter how many times you've been hurt. Now, how many times you've been hurt kind of falls on you. You know, you can't back up from that person a little bit. Unless you're married. Unless you're married. Oh, I'm going to preach in a minute. Because when you're married, you're married. And you got to keep forgiving when he or she does that same thing over and over and over, and you have sat down and had the conversations, the adult conversations on, that bothers me, and I need you to quit, and you still do that, and then it just escalates, and guess what? You got to go back with a hat in hand and say, forgive me, and guess what? If you do that, then it's on the spouse to say, okay, I forgive you. Don't do it again. I got to, as Arvell just said, disregard that happened. That's tough. It's not so hard to forgive somebody that lives over yonder, lives in another country, lives in another state. Okay, I'm never going to probably see you again. Don't have to talk to you. Oh, but to forgive someone who is with you, comes to church with you, lives with you as your spouse, as your child, your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, someone who's hurt you, that's a total different thing altogether. But that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Do you want to be the kingdom of heaven walking around on earth? You better start forgiving. You better start learning how to forgive, because it's like the kingdom of heaven. It's what the Bible says. It is like this kingdom of heaven is like forgiveness, because we've all been forgiven. Amen? Verse 30. And he would not, and this fellow servant fell down begging him, and he would not give him mercy. And he said, and he would not, but went and threw him into a prison till he should pay the debt. Now, I've always struggled with that verse. I've always struggled with that one. I'm thinking, well, what an idiot. Well, if you're in jail, you're probably not making any money. But if I'm wanting money from you, and I put you in a place where there you do not get money, and I'm wanting money, the stupidity really lies upon me. I'm not going to get anything. And he left you there till you can pay it, huh? Well, probably at this point in his life, he's already sold everything he's got. He owes you something. Come on. You're probably not going to get anything. And you're going to put him in prison. That's what happens. See, you get put in prison when you don't forgive. You're held bondage and you can't move on with life. God can't use you the way you need to be, the way he wants to use you, because you're so caught up in your bondage and you've been controlled by this spirit of unforgiveness. This is working on somebody. And so we've got to learn to forgive, to disregard the hurt and the pain. I didn't say you're going to like it. I didn't even say it'd be easy. I'm saying the Bible says we're to forgive. Praise God. He didn't say forget. So I've got a serious problem there sometimes. But see, when that thought comes, I'm going to help you with forgiveness. You know, when you hadn't seen that person, you say, okay, I've finally gotten past that. And when their name was mentioned, I finally got past it. Anybody ever been hurt like that? Where just the mention of their names had to go take a blood pressure pill just to calm down a little bit, you know? As some of them say, I drank a Red Bull so I'd go lay down, you know, that kind of thing. You got worked up over the mention of them, but you finally got past that. You're past that. Now you can hear their name, no problem. But then you run into them. You see them. Can you disregard truly rather than going up and saying, oh, I've been praying for you. Bless you. I've just been praying for you. You liar. Oh, you've been praying for them, all right. Praying something bad happened to them. Remember, there was an old country song. Said, or I don't know if it's a country song. It's a song about, I'm praying for you that your brakes should go out when you're going down the hill. Is that the way you pray for people? Well, that really, you didn't forgive them. You didn't disregard it. You were able to cope with it, but you still got that unforgiveness there. Here's the deal. Don't think that you're fooling God. You can fool people. But have you truly forgiven that person? God knows your heart. And you and I both, we need to learn to forgive the hurt and the pain that's caused by someone else. God doesn't hurt you. It's people. It's people. Amen? If you're all by yourself, nobody's offending you, nobody's making you mad, nobody's hurting you if you're on an island by yourself. I guarantee it. Of course, we as human come up with this idea. We're mad at somebody for not coming and rescuing us. And they don't know you're there. I mean, that's just the way we work. We're good at it. So let's continue. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants, let me kind of paint this picture a little bit. So this guy gets forgiven from his master. He goes and tries to get money from someone who owes him, and he wouldn't forgive him, so he throws him in prison. And there's other people watching this go on. Other people that assumedly was in the same place or the same room where he got forgiveness from the master the first time. And they were there, and they saw that. So these fellow servants saw what happened. And it says, so when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved. They were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. I got to ask you a question. If this passage of Scripture is like the kingdom of God, and these fellow servants were grieved when they saw it, how much more is God grieved when you hold a grudge, when you don't forgive? How much more is He grieved? If these fellow servants, being humans, were grieved with what they saw, how much more is God grieved when you don't forgive? I would say greater than the fellow servants. Because I don't read in this passage of Scripture where these fellow servants owed the other guy anything. I don't see that they were in debt to him whatsoever. I don't see that. But I know that God sent His only Son to die on a cross for our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins. See, your sins are forgiven when you ask, because the work's already been done on the cross. And it grieves the Holy Spirit when He says, look, I have given you my Son for forgiveness of your sins, yet you hold a grudge to this person who merely said something wrong about you or bad about you or done something to you. And you can't get past that. Yet I gave my Son for forgiveness, yet you're hung up on that. Church, we've got a long ways to go on forgiveness. I don't like to get too political, but we still got people in Christian circles that are mad at the last elections and won't talk to fellow Christians because their person didn't win or their person lost. Who cares? Jesus is winning. I read the book. Got over to the end. I'm winning. I'm going to win. As long as I stay in Christ, I win. I don't care who's at the White House. I do not care. What I do care about is who's at my house. Who's living and reigning and ruling at my house. And I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about the King. Amen? Verse 32. So these fellow servants went and told the master. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Don't you think that's a good way to do business? If I extended to you, shouldn't you extend it to them? It's a real question that we need to ask ourselves. Each one of us need to ask. It's a real question. Should you not forgive? Or is the hurt that you have greater than anyone else's? Has your hurt, did they talk worse about you than anyone else, so therefore you have the right not to forgive? It's not what Scripture says. It's not about how much hurt that you have encumbered. It's not about how much pain. It's not how much you have endured. It is simply about this. Can you forgive? Can you extend mercy and grace to those that you receive mercy and grace from in the Heavenly Father? Can you do that? It's tough, church. I know you like this message. I can see it on your faces. But the problem is, we cannot grow in Christ until we learn to forgive first. I think so many people come to Christ, they give their heart to the Lord, truly meaning to give their heart to the Lord, and they do. But they don't truly understand forgiveness. They really don't understand that there's hurt pains in the past that keep them bound up, and they have to go back and say, I repent of that. Will you forgive me? Again, forgiveness is for us, church. Forgiveness is not for the one who hurts you. You need to get that in your spirit. It is not for the one who hurts you. Forgiveness is for you, for your growth, for your benefit. Verse 34 says this, and his master was angry. Now watch what the master did. He freed him, but now he's went and got him again, and he's angry. And he says, and he delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. There's one of them, that crazy scripture again. But what we know about this guy is that he had a wife and a kid and some possessions. Because he said earlier in the passage that he could sell the wife and the kid and the stuff. Boy, that'd be a torture right there, wouldn't it? What if we went back to that? Talking about forgiveness. Boy, we'd be in a heap of trouble. I don't think I want to join that church. Sure, don't want to serve that Jesus. Whoa, no. We're going to do that? You're going to take my wife and kids when I harbor something in there? When I can't forgive? What he's saying here is not that he's going to take those things. The essence of this is that unforgiveness, and I'm about to close. I know this is a shocker. What he's saying in essence is that unforgiveness will destroy you and all those around you and your church family, your extended family. That's the power. That's the grip of unforgiveness. When you can't forgive, it destroys, starting with you. See, it destroyed this servant first. He's the first one that went back in front of the master and got put in torture, in jail. But just think about it. He was away from his family. His family was away from him. He was somewhat the provider, or should have been, was trying to be. And now that's gone. It was a complete destruction. And that's what unforgiveness does. It is a complete, slow process of destruction. It's like hanging somebody up by their ears and cutting off their toe, waiting for them to bleed to death. Pastor, you're gross. Yeah, I watched that one time. It works. I mean, they can. Think about it. It's slow. You're going to die with this. Unforgiveness. I don't think you understand really the concept that we must be a forgiving people. And it hinders the church as a body, hinders the church individually because you are the church. It hinders us when we cannot forgive. And the questions that's going through all of our minds, or at least has been at some point in this message, is, but you don't know how bad that hurt me, Pastor. Guess what? You're absolutely right, I don't. I do not. I don't know. It is not my job to know. It is my job to teach you and to preach to you that you must forgive past and beyond the amount of hurt and pain in your life. And until we can get there, we've got issues. We've got issues if you can't forgive. It's hard, y'all. I know it's hard. I have to do it every day. Every week, I have to do that. Because I want to be more like Christ. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Look, I have to forgive and be forgiven. But it's not for them, it's for me. Do you want to grow in Christ? Do you want to be better tomorrow than you are today in Christ? Then learn to forgive. Do you want to know how to express love to those that just, runs those chills up and down your back? Then you got to learn to forgive. It's hard. It's tough. And watch verse 35, and I'm closing. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's heavy. I mean, that's like heavy, heavy. Likewise, now I'm not telling you, you can read into it whatever you want to. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. If you open your Bible, this is still red letters. Jesus says it. So my heavenly Father also who will do to you, each of you, from his heart does not forgive. Not an outward thing. From your heart. See, he wants to take this thing more than just, well, I'm going to send them a nice little card. Tell them I forgive them. And when I see them, I'm going to smile at them and say, oh, hallelujah. I'm praying for you. See, beyond that, in the heart. See, God looks past all of those outward things and looks at your heart and says, there's still something in there toward that person. You really haven't forgiven them. But in order to grow in Christ, in order to be what God wants us to be, we have got to learn to forgive. And in today of Facebook and Twitter and all of our social medias, our Snapchats or your chats or whatever we do with those, all of those things, you can be offended and hurt by someone so easily. You need to learn to cut that off. If it offends you, if that hurts you, get rid of that. Bible even takes it further. Said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. It's better to go into heaven maimed than it goes to hell with all your parts. There's some things you don't need in your life that cause us grief. That's what I'm saying. You can forgive somebody for what they said on your Facebook post about something. But if you keep posting stuff out there and you keep staying on Facebook, well, that's your fault. And I'm not against Facebook. I'm not against Tweeter or Twitter or Twatter or whatever it's called. I don't know. I don't do those things. I'm barely doing Facebook. Come on. My kids said, Dad, you need to move and get on up. And it just, okay, I'm about far. I'm going to go. I told you a story about my dad, didn't you? I'm going to close. Did I tell you a story about my dad and the computer? My dad's 78 years old, and a few years ago we asked him, said, Dad, you need to get a computer. It'll make your life better. Dad, will you get a computer? Look, you're going to be able to do this. He was big in the cattle. You could market your cattle and all this. We just get him all this good stuff. He said, I don't need one. But, Dad, you're going to get left behind. Now, mind you, I'm talking at this time a 76-year-old. He's really not worried about getting left behind. Come on. And he said, no, I'm not going to need one. You need to catch up, Dad. I don't need one. I don't even know how to cut one on. Don't want to know how to cut one on. Now, they have since gotten a computer. It's a challenge. My mother runs it. So I was, and I'm going to finish this story. So I was with my dad one day, and we'd had this conversation. And we were working on something, a piece of equipment. And his hands were dirty and mine were dirty. And his phone was on the tailgate, and it goes off. Ring, ring, ring. You know, us, we're like, the younger generation, you going to get that? Come on, how many of you do that? Some of you drop your firstborn to get your phone. No. Oh, come on, somebody. And it never fazed him. I'm thinking he didn't hear it. We kept on. I said, Dad, you got the collar? Yep. So we get through. A couple minutes later, we clean up. I said, let me check your voicemail. I'll see who that was for you. He said, my what? I said, your voicemail, it's like an answering machine, you know, that box you used to have at the house, but it's in your phone. He said, I ain't got one. I said, oh, yeah, your phone comes with one. You'll have one. I ain't got one. I said, Dad, how you gonna know what they wanted if you don't have voicemail, if you can't answer the phone? His response was, if it's bad enough, they'll call me back. If it wasn't, I didn't need to talk to them. And I thought, wow, you know. Here's the deal. You can do away with a lot of stuff in your life that causes you hurt and pain. Amen. That you don't even need. Because you get hung up in that and it causes hurt. There's enough people that's breathing and living that you'll run into face to face that'll hurt you and cause you pain that you'll have to forgive. You don't need them somewhere halfway across the world. You don't need those people that you see once every 50, 60, or 20, 30 years that's commenting on your stuff. I am preaching a little bit and meddling a little bit in your personal life. That's kind of what I get to do here, meddle in your personal life some. Some things just don't help you. Some things just are a hindrance to your life. But when we allow those things that aren't beneficial to come in and cause bitterness and hurt, guess what? Then you have to deal with it. And you know what they're doing? They're having a good time going out to eat and all that stuff. They ain't thinking about you. We need to learn to forgive. You know, I asked the Lord, how are we going to do this? How are we going to close this? Because this is not something typically that you run to the altar for. Because you don't want people to know that you got something in the deep corner of your heart, that little spot over there that you know, that God knows, but you think no one else knows. Amen? We know. So how do you end a service like this? How do you say we need to get some things right? Because there's not a person in this room that at some point hadn't harbored some. Maybe even right now, you're thinking, man, I wish I hadn't came today. This is a message for somebody else. I didn't want to come either. Makes you feel better. Because when I got it, I'm thinking, Lord, who needs to hear this? You know what the Holy Spirit said? You. And I'm like, Pam, are there two yous in the room? Because I'm thinking I'm good. And the Lord starts bringing things to my remembrance that are tucked way back in that corner, that are way over in there under that other little thing that you never really dealt with. Here's what happens a lot of times with unforgiveness. You think you're forgiven. Here's what happens. You've just learned to cope with it. You've learned to block it out. Come on. That is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is to disregard the hurt and the pain. Will you stand with me across this building? I don't know how to close this service. I'm going to close it the best I know how. If everyone in this room will just bow your heads.